Drive Time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the deer.
Marley, everybody, thank you very much. Well, welcome back to the Drive Time, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Glover. Joining me in the studio is your new Democrat candidate for Northumberland, Peterborough South, Russ Christensen. Russ, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. That's a great song to open up with.
It is. Gets the blood a-boiling there. And, of course, Rob Washburn is here. This is your weekly version of Consider This, part one of our series. We're going to be having all the candidates in here, well, all that we can get in here. Starting this week with Russ Christensen, next week Patricia Sinnott, and the following week will be Kim Rudd. We're still holding out hope that that Adam Moulton will come on the show, but I guess we'll have to wait and see how that goes. How's everything going out on the campaign trail, Russ?
Things are going really well. We're busy. You know, it's a long campaign. We're pacing ourselves, but we've got more sign requests, more volunteers, more donations. We're raising more money. Things are going extremely well.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear
people
that.
People want change.
They do want change. I'm going to concur with that one. Anybody who listens to my show knows that there's nothing better than in this situation anyway. Change. Let's talk about yourself, though, if we can. This is not your first time as a candidate, but we do have some new areas in the riding, some
yes.
people that may not be familiar with you. So why don't we talk a little bit about who you are, maybe go over your resume, since they love to talk about resumes during this campaign.
Resumes, yeah. Well, I like to talk about the issues that affect people, but I will humor you and give you a little bit of background. So I'm a business consultant. I basically help people start businesses, and I do business planning, market research, financial analysis, organizational development. That's how I've been making a living for 30 years.
Putting people to work.
Putting people to work, creating new jobs, creating new wealth, finding ways for people creatively to do things in a way that's, you know, economically viable, socially in some ways, you know, redeeming and a good thing for the community, mm-hmm. and also environmentally. So triple bottom line.
And sustainable.
Absolutely.
Sustainability.
Yes. Very important.
Because in this economy, I mean, right now, that's got to be difficult.
It's very hard, but I think it's the future.
Absolutely. No. Recently, there was a report out of the Fraser Institute saying that the economy, we're not in a recession. This is the new normal.
That's not acceptable.
I mean,
first of all, you got to look at the source, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So the Fraser Institute doesn't hold a lot of water in most cases, but they do have a very ideological perspective that's on the right wing. But, you know, in terms of this is the new normal, absolutely not. Why would we settle for that? We can do so much better. We're creative. We're innovative. We're hardworking. You know, we have incredible resources in this country. There's no reason for us to settle for what we have now. That's mm-hmm. ridiculous.
So the NDP is offering change?
Yes, we are.
What are you offering the constituents here in Northumberland, Peterborough South?
Well, I think the number one thing that people are concerned about is what we're talking about, which is the economy and jobs, right? So we want to support small businesses. 80% of the jobs are created by small businesses. Mm-hmm. So we're and that's my background. So we're talking about decreasing the tax rate for small businesses from 11 to 9% to stimulate that.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at incentives for manufacturing companies in terms of research and development and the accelerated capital cost allowance to try and stimulate that part of the economy. I mean, we've got a lower dollar now. It's down below 75 cents for the first time in 11
back up
years.
What is it today?
Just
over 75
just
right
over
now.
Yesterday it went below.
It was below, yes. Yeah. It was definitely below by about half a cent. And now we are officially, I believe it's 75.48 today. It was just up 75.18.
The point being that a 75 cent dollar is, you know, potentially mm-hmm. good for exports and manufacturing and cheaper raw materials mm-hmm. coming into Canada. So for the manufacturing sector, that hopefully is going to help out a bit. But we want to kickstart that. We want to help manufacturing. We've lost 400,000 manufacturing jobs since Mr. Harper's been in power. Mm-hmm. He's done nothing for that sector. And in Ontario, a manufacturing province, you know, the backbone of the economy in many ways, it's been devastated.
Well, he's been telling people internationally not to consider Ontario.
Right. Well, yeah. That's because it's politically driven for him, because we've had a Liberal government in Ontario for mm-hmm. so many years, mm-hmm. right?
And those policies sit on a national scale. Let's talk about our area, though, specifically,
right.
because we've been very hard hit by a lack of manufacturing business. There hasn't been a lot of new
and closures, plant closures.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're looking at precarious labor here. What are you going to do locally when you talk about economy and you're talking about jobs?
Well, there's issues around youth unemployment. There's issues around making sure that we protect supply management. There's an agricultural economy here in this area, in Northumberland, Peterborough South. So we want to make sure that we can protect the base that we have now, particularly around agriculture and the services that support agriculture. And then we want to look at manufacturing. How can we encourage manufacturing in this area in Northumberland?
So how would you do that then? How do you encourage manufacturing in this area?
Well, you have to have, first of all, you have to have a strategy, which is something that we haven't had. So we need a strategy, and we need a way to provide federal incentives to support the provincial and the municipal governments to create an environment that is going to encourage manufacturers to maintain their operations here and or set up new operation or expand. So that's what we have to do.
Well, let's get a specific example. We have a guy who wants to open up a medical marijuana plant here in the old Kraft building. He's been waiting, 18 months for a license. What would you do to help him?
Well, I think in terms of the medical marijuana, that's something that, you know, obviously it's an important aspect of people's self-treatment and medication for people that have issues that is treated with that. And we need to find ways to provide the quality of that marijuana that they need. Now, I'm not 100% sold on the idea that the federal conservatives have been pushing this very large-scale production. I think that we've had a lot of small businesses and small-scale production that actually creates more jobs and provides probably a better quality product So I'm not totally sold on the very large-scale, bigger is better idea of the production of medical marijuana. So I'd have to look at – I'd like to talk to the gentleman. I haven't talked to him. I'd like to have a discussion with him, find out what the scale is, find out what challenges he's been having. So as an MP, you represent all the people in your riding once you're elected. And I would want to make sure that, you know, if there's something that legitimately that gentleman needs help with his business, we try to cut through those problems. And as a business developer myself, I've had lots of experience doing that, believe me. So, you know, there's red tape, and then sometimes there's some issues around regulations or issues around just lack of responsiveness in terms of public servants being responsive on a timely manner. So we'd want to help shepherd that through the process instead of just leaving him on his own. I have no idea what Mr. Norlock has done to help this gentleman, but it doesn't sound like he's done much.
What about the empty storefronts in the downtown? What could you do for those people? I mean, that's something across our entire riding.
Yeah, I was just walking in downtown doing some main streeting, meeting voters in downtown Coburg before I came here to the radio station. And actually, I was not as upset as I have been in the past because I see a lot of new storefronts there in downtown Coburg. Now, Newcastle seems to be doing okay in downtown area. Campbellford in the northern part of the riding, there's a bit of challenges there. But one thing that we did in Campbellford, the theater was going to close. So we helped support it and took it over as a not-for-profit organization and kept the theater going and went digital. And now it's a successful business. It's a not-for-profit and it's community-owned, mm-hmm. but it's an arts and cultural business, which is an economic driver. People tend to forget that arts and culture is an economic driver as well. So in terms of downtown, I'm sure that the business improvement area and association and the Chamber of Commerce here has strategic plans together with municipality to revitalize the downtown. Federal and provincial governments need to support that.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take our first break here on Northumberland 89.7. You're listening to The Drive Time. My guest in the studio is your new Democrat candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South, Russ Christensen, and my usual co-host for Consider This Live, Rob Washburn. As I say, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after a few words. And welcome back to The Drive Time, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Glover. My guests in the studio this afternoon are Russ Christensen from the New Democratic Party of Canada and, of course, Rob Washburn, my usual co-host. We're going to get to the conversation right back to it. But first, before we do that, we do have a caller on the line, and I'd like to hear what he has to say. Welcome back to the show, Ed.
Good day. How are you?
Good to hear from you.
I'm glad you got some candidates on.
Yeah. Hi, Ed. How are you?
I'm well. So far, so good.
Excellent.
I haven't really heard too much of the of your party's policy, but I just my biggest concern is pharmacare. Okay, I watched a group of doctors on the thing, and they said their biggest concern. There was four different doctors from four different. One was pediatric, the other was a geriatric. There was an administrator, and there was a GP. And they all agreed the biggest thing was the fact there's no point in prescribing medicine to people if they can't afford to buy it. Pharmacare seems to be coming up as a big thing. And in relation to that, what is the NDP's plan to do preventative medicine as opposed to just always just fixing a problem that's there? Do they have some kind of medical plan to help, to help people prevent these diseases?
Right. No, that's really a great question, and I think pharmacare is something that the NDP has been talking about in the last three or four federal elections. I know that because I've run in those last three or four federal elections, and we need to look at bulk purchasing of drugs right across the country. We could save a lot of money doing that. And the thing is, when people are sick and they need to take their medication or the antibiotic, they need to take it for the full course of the medication. And if they can't afford it and they don't take it, they end up back in the hospital. Well, that costs our healthcare system a heck of a lot more money than if they took the medication and got better in the first place. So if people can't afford it, they can't afford it. So we do need to have a pharmacare system that makes those drugs affordable. And there's also catastrophic illness drugs that are incredibly expensive that we need to make affordable for people. That is and should be part of the public healthcare system. So that's something that the NDP supported for many years, and we would work on that to make that happen.
Okay, when you say you support it, like, do they have a plan? Do they have?
We do have a plan.
You know, like, is there, you know, everybody's coming out with promises and budgets,
yeah.
and this is in the budget and everything else. What is the plan? Like, is it, you know, are they going to have one plan all across Canada, or are we still going to have 10 or 12 separate plans? Like, you know.
No, it would.
It's really important, this kind of thing. I think we're getting older now, and we're all getting a little more concerned about it.
Yeah, the baby boomer generation, right, is a big one. It's about a third of the population of Canada, and they're starting to retire over the last couple of years. And over the next 10 years, most of them will be retiring. So, you know, that is the aging population. As you get older, you use more of the healthcare services, and prescription drugs need to be part of that, and they need to be made accessible and affordable. And that's our plan. To make that accessible and affordable for people. And it would be a national plan and strategy. And obviously, because provinces actually are responsible for delivering health care, we would work together with them to make that work. And what? I think those negotiations are really important.
Well, just to get to your point, Ed, I mean, the reality is for a lot of people, myself included, frankly, I don't have a drug plan, so I have a lot of medication that I should probably be taking, but I can't because I can't afford it. But the real issue, as you say, is this idea of bulk buying.
Right.
Because we know that every province, I mean, it's considerably more to purchase your medication in a province like PEI than in Ontario, even Ed. And I really think that your statement there that they should be the ones who are doing the bulk buying, it just seems logical that the federal government would be the vendor of choice.
Right.
And we should be just, you know, purchasing that. There's nothing in the Health Act, by the way, that prevents the federal government from providing funding for health care.
No,
just,
not at all.
Just direct provision of the
That's
service.
That's correct.
Well, didn't I hear that Canada is the only country that has, you know, socialized medicine that doesn't have pharmacare?
That is correct, yeah.
You know, like what
I believe Australia as well. Does Australia have pharmacare?
I think Australia has it. I think
you're
right. New Zealand,
they had one study where there was a drug that cost us $800.
Mm-hmm.
And in New Zealand, it costs $15, exactly the same pill made by exactly the same manufacturer. But because they have pharmacare, where, you know, they have a countrywide thing, it costs them $15 instead of $800. So, you know.
I mean, the net on the costs in terms of economics, certainly each, you know, individual and household would clearly benefit, right? But
oh, absolutely.
The whole public health care system would benefit because you wouldn't have people going to acute care all the time. They would be, you know, healing from their illnesses. They'd be taking the medication they need that's required so they don't fill up the emergency departments.
Well,
you know, it would be a net savings of, I'm sure, billions of dollars. I think that was on CBC television, that special that you saw.
It was a week or mm-hmm. so ago.
And they had an estimate in that study that was, I think, $5 billion, the net savings, if there was a pharmacare.
It was incredible, just not just the pharmacare, but preventative maintenance.
Yes.
You know, the one guy was talking about why do we let people get diseases and then cure them? You know, I think his statement was it wasn't as attractive to be, you know, preventing medicine or preventing diseases as it is to cure them. It's a much better.
Yeah, Tommy Douglas always talked about the second wave of public health care being focused on prevention, right? And that is something that we need to do. There's no question about it.
Are you guys going to do that? Like, is there
preventative health is something that we would really push, and we would invest more resources in long-term care. Long-term care homes right now are, in many cases, in such poor operating situation. It's a disgraceful situation. It's unnecessary. So we need to invest in long-term care homes. We need to invest in home care so that older people can stay in their homes, living with dignity as they age to an older age, because
that's where
they want to live,
yeah,
and it's more economical,
yeah.
right?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So right. we need to take some leadership.
That's where I was at with that. I you know, that's what...
Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Ed. Take care.
And the lines are open for those of you that'd like to give us a call at 905-372-2321. My guest is your Northumberland, Peterborough South, New Democrat candidate, Russ Christensen. Rob Washburn in the studio with us as well for our weekly rendition of Consider This. Now, you were talking about reducing taxes for the job creators, the real job creators, the 70% out there that are small and medium-sized, the mom and pops. Where is that money coming from, though? I mean, are we going to see an increase in corporate taxes then for larger companies to offset that decrease?
Yeah, the corporate tax rate, we would increase that over time. I mean, it's been cut by 10% by successive Liberal and Conservative governments, so we would increase that up to, it's 15% now, so we're looking at I know there isn't a fixed number yet, but somewhere around 16.5% or 17%. And then also we'd get rid of the increase in the TFSAs, right? So the savings, which is really benefiting the top 15% of the population. Most people can't afford. They don't have the cash to invest in that.
Well, there's a report out that said that the majority of people who have tax-free savings accounts haven't maxed them out because they just don't have the money to do that. So,
that's right.
So eliminating that really doesn't sound to me like it's going to bring any more money to the federal government if we're not seeing people being able to take advantage of the $5,000 right now anyway.
No, I think that there's a significant amount of money there. Mm-hmm. And there's also obviously the corporate taxes is something else that is going to bring in more revenue. And one of the challenges with the economic ideology that Mr. Harper's been following is the whole idea that if you cut corporate taxes, they're going to invest in research and development and equipment and more manufacturing. Instead, they've been sitting on the cash. They've been sitting on the cash for 6 or 7 years, yep. And it's almost $1 trillion
yes.
that they're sitting on. So why is that money not being invested? We got to find ways to get that money invested, and we have to find ways to get the balance back so that the corporations are paying their fair share of tax because they're not paying their fair share now. In the United States, the corporate tax rate's 35%.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to go to 15% to be competitive internationally on the capital markets. It's not
so
required.
How do you get those corporations then to invest that $1 trillion?
Well, that's what we want to do. We want to say to them, look, you guys, we need a strategy with you, and we need to work together with you in the provinces. We need to provide them incentives to, you know, we increase the corporate tax rate, but we also then at the same time, we provide an incentive for research and development. And we provide the capital cost allowance. So they actually invest the money, an accelerated capital cost allowance, which allows them to invest the money more quickly and write that off or depreciate it more quickly. But you can only write it off and get the capital cost allowance if you invest the money in the first place.
So they'll get a tax increase, but they'll get a tax decrease if they invest that money.
Exactly.
So if they're sitting on that $600 billion, rather,
right.
then because that's what the number is, $600 and $700 billion. That was the most recent report from the federal government that they're sitting on this. And this was something Jim Flaherty was talking about before he died.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, look, the reality is we cut corporate taxes so we could stimulate the economy, and all we did was give them a huge windfall.
It's not working.
So how do you get those companies to say, with the new government, the NDP, I guess we'll just spend that money now rather than sit on it? I mean, where's the motivation for them to just continue sitting on it?
Well, they're profit motivated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you give them an accelerated capital cost allowance and you give them incentives, tax incentives to actually make the investments instead of sitting on the cash, then they're going to do it because they're going to increase their profit and decrease their tax bill.
So let's say we're successful at doing this and jobs are created. One of the things that we've noticed, particularly with the conservative government, is that there have been a lot of part-time jobs being created. And we see this environment where there's precarious labor. What is your party going to do to remedy that so that we see more full-time jobs, more benefits, better hours, so that people have money in their pockets?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things that the NDP is strongly supportive of is collective bargaining. So we support the democratic institution of people forming unions and collective bargaining and making sure that they have equal or reasonable bargaining power at the table with management so that they can make sure that they can organize and get decent benefits and wages in workplaces. We're also talking about increasing the minimum wage to $15 and setting an example federally because the federal government only has impact over federal employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't go across the board and say, okay, every province is going to have $15 minimum wage now. We can't. That's not our jurisdiction. But in our jurisdiction, we can say federal employees and federally regulated employees are going to get $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is internships, unpaid internships, right, for youth and young people. We would not allow that. Internships would be covered by the same employment standards as any other job.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole aspect of unpaid internships is a real problem.
Can we just go back for a second to what you were saying about unions? Are you suggesting that there would be legislation that would be promoting the formation of unions?
Unions are already allowed to form, so we don't need legislation. But we have had a situation with the conservative government federally that has really beaten unions up. That's the reality, and including, Bill 377 that is putting an onerous reporting requirement on unions. They already are audited statements at the annual general meetings of unions every year. I mean, they're member-based democratic organizations, and the conservative government ideologically has a problem with collective bargaining. The NDP doesn't. We support collective bargaining. We think that's an important part of a democratic society.
So how would that affect somebody who, let's say, is working 12-hour shifts at Walmart, or maybe that it's a restaurant worker where they're only getting 12 to 15 hours a week and their schedule's all over the map and they get 4 hours here and 3 hours there? How does that particular thing help them then?
Well, I think you see it happening with fast food workers in the United States. They're organizing. And they're unionizing down in McDonald's in the United States, and they're protesting, and they're going for a $15 minimum wage. And some of the municipal governments and state governments there have moved in that direction, right? So they've moved for that minimum wage. And in terms of hours and scheduling, I mean, that's an issue, right? And I'm not sure that the federal government is going to get into micromanaging. There's no way, you know, schedules and small businesses.
Understood.
But what we can do is we can encourage people through the minimum wage legislation, through Employment Standards Act, mm-hmm. and that's provincial jurisdiction, but, you know, the Human Rights Code and all those things to allow people to organize and protect themselves collectively rather than just being picked off as individuals.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay some more bills, and we will be right back after our last break for the hour. You're listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. I'm Dave Glover. My guests are Russ Christensen and Rob Washburn. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Drive Time, everybody. That is our last break of the evening. We will be running till just before 7 o'clock. Russ has got some stuff he has to get to. But I wanted to ask him, for the first time in memory, for me anyway, as a former New Democrat myself, the government, the NDP is talking about a balanced budget, and they're saying that it's going to be about balanced budgets, and he's not going to run a deficit. But we're talking about a lot of spending that's going to go into generating what Mr. Mulcair is talking about in terms of creating jobs, in terms of betterment for health care. How do you do that with the financial constraints? Because, I mean, everybody knows, even the conservatives are now starting to see the crack in the armor here. The reality is whomever forms the next government is going to be in deficit. So do Canadians have to wait?
I don't think that's necessarily the case.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. No. So I was trained as an accountant. And mm-hmm. like I said earlier, I do financial forecasts and budgets for lots of businesses and organizations. And it's about choices, really. So
okay.
you have to make choices. If you've got this much revenue and there's places to increase revenue, like the thing with the conservatives, they've always just decreased revenue. Like if you were thinking about the federal government as a business,
yep.
then tax revenue is sales. That's revenue, sales revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And then your other costs, those are the expenses, right? So if you're just cutting revenue, cutting revenue, cutting revenue, you have no choice but to either run a deficit or
raise taxes.
Cut programs. And that's what the conservatives.
True,
the conservatives
enough.
Have cut programs, right? Cut their expenses.
Yep.
So what we're saying is we're not going to increase income taxes, right, for individuals or families. Times are rough right now, so we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to increase corporate taxes. That's going to give us some more revenue, right? The TFSAs, we're going to cut that so that, again, the wealthiest 15% of people, we want a fair tax system. That's what we want. It's about fairness. And we're going to make choices about, and we've laid some of our choices out. Our platform is fully costed, and that will be released over the coming weeks, right? But we've put out some pretty clear choices, like $15 a day childcare for people. That is an economic stimulus, too, right? Because women then are encouraged to work in the workplace, and it's actually a multiplier of two times.
How does the province of Ontario, though, come up with their portion of that?
Doing it. If they're doing it, then we'll provide a contribution from the federal government to continue that program with any provincial government. Like one of the things that Harper hasn't done,
mm-hmm.
he's never sat down with all the premiers and had a discussion
about
any of these things. And there's no federal leadership on any of these kinds of programs.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mulcair is going to sit down with the premiers. And, you know, they're not always going to agree on things, right? But they're going to have an adult discussion about what does this country need? What can we do as a government to help the people across the country? We have a wonderful country. We've got great people here. They deserve a break. Let's see what we can do from a leadership point of view to actually move things forward into the future and provide for the needs that they have.
What about for the First Nations?
Yeah, that's a really important issue. First Nations people, and you know, they often pretty well get the short end of the stick, right? And there's many First Nations across Canada that have water issues. They don't have clean drinking water. The young children, they have very poor educational facilities. The housing in First Nations communities mm-hmm. is a problem. There's the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that needs to be, you know, really studied and actually mm-hmm. implemented. There's recommendations there that need to be followed. And then there's the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Where's the inquiry? Like, we need a national inquiry mm-hmm. on that issue. It's 450% higher rate of murder and missing women than the regular population. I mean, it's just, it's disgraceful.
So
it's
what
a
is
tragedy.
So given Mr. Mulcair's statements with regards to Quebec and separation and 50 plus one, and the fact that
I don't think Mr. Mulcair has worked hard in the trenches his whole mm-hmm. political and public service career to keep Canada together. He's a strong nationalist. So he's not talking about separation, and mm-hmm. you know, we're not talking. That's not even an election issue.
Well, no,
people
it's not,
are concerned about the economy,
it is a First Nations issue, though, because you know, even during the last plebiscite,
Quebec separation is
certainly it is because a large swath of the province of Quebec is First Nations territory, and this is it either has not been ceded by treaty or isn't even being covered in the discussion.
But I don't see what we need to do is we need to negotiate nation to nation with First Nations communities mm-hmm. to deal with those treaties. So many of them have been broken promises, a trail of mm-hmm. tears with those treaties, and we need to respect them, and we need to come to land settlements. And from my point of view, one of the worst things that the First Nations communities could do, and they can determine this themselves, they are a self-determining nation, mm-hmm. would be to privatize their land. If they privatize their land, they're going to lose it because it's just going to get sold off. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've already been relegated to relatively very small pieces of land on their reserves, right? Mm-hmm. And they've, over the years, their territory's just shrunk and shrunk and shrunk compared to the original treaties. So as a society, we need to really treat this issue as one of the priorities of the nation, and we need to find a way to have that adult conversation with First Nations peoples and communities and work together to help resolve their issues. And we have the ability and the resources to do that.
What about Bill C-51?
Well, I mean, from our point of view, the NDP, we've taken a principled stand on Bill C-51. Civil rights are fundamental to any democratic society, mm-hmm. and it's far too much of an encroachment on civil rights. And the laws that we already had before Bill C-51, if you talk to law enforcement and other people, they were completely adequate mm-hmm. the way they were. And law experts, I mean, the thing that really bothers me the most about Bill C-51 is the fact that the Conservative government and Pierre Poilievre didn't listen to anybody. They wouldn't listen to legal experts. They wouldn't listen mm-hmm. to civil rights organizations. They wouldn't listen to the opposition. They wouldn't listen to fellow parliamentarians and all the concerns. Like, I mean, it's a disgrace, really.
So what are you going to do then?
Well, we would repeal it immediately.
Then that's a commitment from Tom Mulcair for sure, that they're going to be talking about repealing it immediately. How easy is that going to be, though?
I think it's easy if you have a majority. That's why people have to vote NDP.
Are we going to see a majority government, you think, this time around?
I honestly have no idea. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think it would be interesting, but, you know, hey, it happened in Alberta.
Well, in this riding, historically, we've seen, in order to win this riding, you need 18,000-plus votes.
Yeah, you need about, you know, just over 37-38% of the votes.
So the magic number, really, in this riding, in order to shut down the Conservatives, because they consistently do the 18-5, I mean...
Well, Mr. Norlock had 53% of the vote in the last election mm-hmm. in 2011, but we've got a new candidate now, Adam Moulton. He's untried, and we've got 75% of Canadians want to fire Mr. Harper on October 19th. So that's a pretty steep curve there. And if you look at second-choice ballot voting, mm-hmm. The Conservatives are at 10 or 11%. The NDP is at 62%. So in terms of any soft votes from Conservatives or Liberals, they're going NDP.
But the last election, you garnered just over 12,000 votes, right?
Yeah, we tied basically with the Liberals at 22% of the vote.
You had 20, they had 21% from the 2011 election. So, mm-hmm. And agreed, you have increased the number of votes each time you've run. I think in 2004, first time you ran, it was 9,000. Just 9,000 votes or 15% yeah. of the votes. So you've increased consistently, and it was the last time I think Rudd dropped substantially down to about mm-hmm. 12,000. So are you saying that you're going to be able to garner another 6,000 to 10,000 votes in this election?
No problem. I think the reality here in Northumberland, Peterborough South is the same reality across Canada. People want change. And the best way to make that change happen in this election is to vote for the New Democratic Party. Tom Mulcair has the momentum. He's viewed by most Canadians as being the best prime ministerial candidate. The second best would be Harper, who's the incumbent, and third best is Justin Trudeau. So I think there's a lot of momentum going towards the NDP and Tom Mulcair. And we'll feel that in this riot.
Are you feeling that? Are you hearing that at the door? Are you getting that on the street?
I'm not just getting it at the door. We're getting it at our campaign office. We're getting more signs, more volunteers, more donations than we've ever had. And we're getting people who are coming into the office and saying, look, somebody put this Liberal sign on our lawn. We didn't give them permission, but I want an NDP sign. Can you please come and do that for me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can. So it's happening. It is. It's a shift. Like, I've run in four elections federally. This is my fifth. And I can notice a big shift, a big change happening here. So whether that will play itself out, you know, it's a long campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things can happen. We all know that. But, you know, October 19th, we'll see. But at this point, we have a lot of momentum. We have the most signs up in this riding.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about the boundary change? Is that because you've run in a different riding in the last four elections? So how's that made a difference?
Well, it used to be Northumberland, Quinte West, and that included Trenton. So Northumberland, Peterborough South drops Trenton, and we pick up the area that's basically south of the city of Peterborough down to Newcastle. So it's a more rural area. There's some smaller communities like Keene and Norwood and mm-hmm. Newcastle and Newtonville. But, you know, Trenton is no longer part of the riding. So one thing about Trenton that's interesting is that because it is an armed forces community, a lot of the people that are there for the armed forces don't actually vote here. They vote in their home ridings, wherever they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to mobilize the vote in Trenton. So I think it's going to be really interesting. It's going to change the cards in this game of the voting in Northumberland, Peterborough South.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been canvassing and mainstreeting and going to events in Newcastle and that area and in Keene and in Norwood. And I've been very welcome there. And people are really glad to meet the candidate. They usually are. And, there's lots of people that are undecided
mm-hmm.
but leaning towards the NDP. And, you know, former, I would say, PC or progressive conservative voters who are fed up with Harper too, they're not going to vote conservative. And they don't want to vote Liberal, so they're going to vote NDP. Or they might stay at home and sit on their hands. And then there's Liberal voters who are definitely coming to the NDP.
You're seeing a lot of Liberal supporters shifting to the NDP?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting perspective, because I know that we've garnered, as you say, it's a more rural riding. Farmers tend to support the Conservatives.
But supply management.
That was going to be my question. Is supply management playing out for you? Are you hearing?
Absolutely. Definitely.
Let's hear a little about that if we could.
Yeah. So the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a, you know, investor protection deal, so-called free trade. I mean, mm-hmm. look, everybody likes trade. The NDP likes trade. Canada's a trading nation, right? So the problem with that Trans-Pacific Partnership is the investment protection, and they want to get rid of supply management. It's being driven by the United States. That whole trade agreement is being driven by the United States so that they mm-hmm. can, you know, have more influence in the Asian economy and try to stave off China's influence economically and potentially, hopefully not, but militarily, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're negotiating these agreements from that basis. But for the supply management system here in Northumberland, Quinte West, dairy farmers particularly, chicken and poultry and egg farmers, really important that we maintain that system. And it's a food security issue. Those are some basic staple foods that people use and eat every day. We need to produce those here in our country,
mm-hmm.
maintain those small family farms, which keep our rural communities resilient and sustainable. If we lose those small family farms, these rural communities are going to be in big trouble.
That's interesting. You know, there was a story out of Kingston today that said the local dairy farmers were just up in arms about this trade deal that you're talking about, and also concerns about the supply management. Why haven't we seen that same kind of activism locally, if you're seeing it out there on the husting?
Well, I think it takes a while for farmers to get riled up. They're pretty busy, especially this time of year, right? Mm-hmm. So, and if you're a dairy farmer, you're milking your cows twice a day too. So I think, because the Trans-Pacific Partnership, it was the conservatives were hoping that was going to be a signed, done deal before the election was called. But it fell off the rails. So at this point, I think the dairy farmers are going, okay, well, you know, is this thing going to move forward or not? So I think there's a bit of a respite right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, the NDP is very strongly in favor of trade, and we want fair trade. We don't want unbalanced trade where mm-hmm. we basically lose more than we get in exchange. So we want to make sure that we can increase our balance of trade surplus, not decrease.
You mentioned the investor protection clause. It's the same nefarious clause, and that's how I love to refer to it, as a nefarious clause in the free trade agreement,
yes.
in the North American free trade agreement, in the CETA deal.
Yes.
Which a lot of these, I mean, it's that same investor protection clause that's holding it up in Europe right now. The Europeans aren't particularly happy with that.
Right.
I mean, we've signed trade deals that have allowed corporations to sue our government if we write laws. This is why we don't have a national pharmacare. I mean, let's look at the reality here. It is investor protection that's preventing a national pharmacare.
And it's Brian Mulroney's drug patent legislation.
What is the NDP going to do to change that, though? Are we going to see some changes to the existing trade deals? Are we going to go back to the negotiation table? We know that we only have to give them, 90 days notice to break the free trade agreement. Is that something we can
see?
They are
just agreements, and let's face it, they're not written in stone. And I think, personally, that NAFTA agreement was very poorly negotiated from Canada's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost softwood lumber. There's so many things that we've lost. All these manufacturing jobs that we've lost, those are at the root cause of that, is those free trade agreements. And we need to go back. Like, if you take Trans-Pacific Partnership, for example, that's not even been made public. There's no transparency in the process. You can't even get a copy of it to read it.
Nope.
So, you know, before we sign anything or agree to it, we absolutely want to review it. And if we feel that that's fair and it's going to supply management's going to be okay, and, you know, we can still have incentives for manufacturing jobs and youth unemployment and deal with those issues, and $15 minimum wage and a child care program that's national and pharmacare that's national, take that leadership. If we can do that within those trade agreements, then we can go ahead and sign those agreements. If we can't do those things that we need to do to take care of the needs of people in Canada, we shouldn't be signing those agreements.
Well, my guest has been Russ Christensen. He is your New Democratic Party of Canada candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. Joining me in the studio with Rob Washburn for our weekly version of Consider This. That's going to bring it to a close for today. I want to thank Russ for being here, and I want to thank our caller for calling in as well. Next week, we will have Patricia Sinnott. She is your Green Party candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. I'm Dave Glover. Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow's show should be just as exciting, folks. Here's Blue Rodeo taking us out to the top of the hour.
The show tonight, don't forget your mittens.